questions this year on Yom Kippur, feel free to unmute yourself and talk in the middle. Tani, I like where you are, right in the middle of like a nice little fresh hideout.
Yeah, I'm in the library.
Okay. I want to talk with you about one of the role models of Baal Tshuva. When you think about Tshuva, and again, I'm going to set my watch for 15 minutes. I don't want to take too much of your time, so I'll do a 15-minute, and then I'll let you guys go. So it's very important in life, not just to think about ideas in abstract and what's right and what's wrong, but to find role models that make it more concrete and more graphic. Rav Lichtenstein once told me that when you're struggling with a trait, you shouldn't ask yourself, theoretically, how should you behave? Because your mind plays tricks. You'll give yourself acquittals. Find someone whose moral fiber you respect and ask yourself, how would that person deal with temper? I should try. How would that person deal with pettiness? How would that person deal with stinginess? How will that person deal with sexual? Like, find role models and then plug yourself into their shoes and ask yourself, how would they behave? So actually, we asked Rav Lichtenstein when he said that, who is your role model? And we expected him to say the Rav. Interestingly enough, he said, no, it was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And if anyone knew, I learned both by the Rav and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had this irrepressible moral streak. He was just like pressing a button. Anytime he saw moral injustice, he like rose in indignance and he would give a harangue about. So when you think about tshuva, it's not just theoretical and you heard this idea and that idea because your mind plays tricks and you delude yourself and you avoid issues. One of the ways to really grow, and I'm taking a lot of digressions here, I try to give people guidance and practical tips, and I like them to be three words because I think three-word phrases are great. Nothing should be more than three or four words. So the way to really find out who you are and to pursue real change, I call it follow the pain. If you think about something and you wince and it causes you pain, then don't avoid it, but pursue that line of thought because you're opening a raw nerve. And the rest of the year, you try to cauterize or you try to cover up that nerve. Now it's Yom Kippur. Follow the pain. If you think about things that don't cause you pain, those are artificial. Those are extrinsic. Those are light changes. But the real change is when you think about your real flaws, your real limitations. It hurts you. You're embarrassed. The rest of the year, you shut it down. Now's the chance. Imagine you're walking through a cave. You need a torch. Yom Kippur is walking through a cave. What's the dark cave? The dark parts of your soul. You're trying to walk through that soul and understand it better. What's the torch I'm giving you? Pain. If you feel uncomfortable once you think about something, that's good. Follow it. Don't share it with anyone. Follow it. So we have a lot of examples of Baalei Tshuva. Adam Arishon performed Tshuva according to Medrash. Kayin performed Tshuva. Yehuda performed Tshuva. Reuven performed Tshuva. But we also have Tanaim and Amoraim who performed Tshuva. And I want to share with you the story of, it's not clear whether he was a Tana, but his tshuva is really fascinating. And by trying to plug into some of his process, it becomes more real, becomes more concrete. So I'm going to share the screen with you. This is the tshuva of someone known as Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya. It's not clear, one second, I don't have my mouse here. It's not clear whether he was a Tana or not. It's hard to imagine he was given his life story. But let's just see. You see the Gemara, source number Dalet. Amar Alav al Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya, Shelo Hiniach Zona achas ba'olam shelo ba'aleha. Wow. You want to appreciate the toxicity of sin? Just look at the modern world and look at people who are addicted. Addiction is the tail end of freedom. Ultimate freedom, freedom to explore, freedom to indulge, no restraints, no one's going to hold you back, equal rights for everyone. All of a sudden, freedom morphs into addiction. And addiction is the worst form of slavery. It's easy when you're enslaved by a tyrant who is a human being like a Paro or a Nebuchadnezzar, because even though you're persecuted, at least you know who your enemy is. And they can take away your money, they take away your life, they can take away your bodily plan, but you can't take away an idea. You can't take away people's spirit. So if you know who your tyrant is, you can at least maintain your spirit of opposition. You can know what you don't agree with. But we live in a world of faceless tyrants. We don't really have tyrants anymore. We have cultural tyranny, or parts of our culture that end up tyrannizing us. So here's a person, it's incredible. He's literally obsessed. He has covered every single, you see people who are addicted, they simply can't live. They don't have a schedule, they don't have resources, they don't have time, chemically they can't function. So the modern era, addiction is a modern convention. People weren't addicted. People use drugs, people use substances, but addiction to drugs, to or to anything, This is a person who's sexually addicted. And sadly, I'm talking to Americans. I've done a lot of talking this week. But you saw headlines over the last couple of weeks. And thank God the egalitarian or the liberation of women into our world has carried with it great, great benefits for women, for men, for the workforce, for the exchange of ideas, for creating an equal society. But it's also unleashed a very voyeuristic, pornographic, there's a lot of cycles. And the danger in life is when we take these values that are so important to us, but we deify them rather than calibrating them. Every value has danger. Accept the value, but check against the danger. Here's a person who's completely, completely addicted. What happens? Line number two. Pam achas, shama sheyesh zona achas bekrache hayam. He hears about a prostitute in some distant land, and all of a sudden he gets aroused. Part of this arousal is because she's from another place. When we sin, and not just sexual sins, but many of our sins, and when you want to try to terminate your sins, the most important part is try to trace the psychological root of sin. Every sin has an external manifestation, what you do, what you eat, how you behave, and then there's a psychological pressure that may be very different. And if you just deal with the external manifestation, I promise you, I've lived long enough, and I've sinned long enough, the sins are going to come back. You'll nip them at the bud, they'll disappear for a few months, but they're going to come back to bite you. And the only way to really walk away from them is to rewire yourself, understand where they come from, find healthier ways to express those pressures and anxieties, try to eliminate those anxieties. It's a long process. Think of tshuva. I was talking to a group of high school kids earlier today in Los Angeles. Think of tshuva 2020 as a long-term investment. You'll make certain gains this year, but I promise you 2021, there's going to be a lot of recidivism. A lot of what you promise and pledge this year, you're not going to sustain. You're going to fall right back into the same patterns, same habits, same situation, and you'll be right back where you are now, next year, plugging holes in a sinking ship without enough fingers to plug the holes. Point thing, I promise you, it's going to be a little easier next year. You'll know yourself better. You'll be a little older. You have already cut ground. You'll know what it's traced to. So tshuva is incremental. It's not just a one-off event. It's a long, I've been doing tshuva for close to, I don't know, 40 years or so. And I have a history of tshuva. And I know where my starting point is and where I ended last year and how it's helped me for the next year. So much of sin is the need to escape the dreariness and the boredom of our world. It's called fantasy. Let me tell you a story. About 15 years ago, a boy comes to Gush. Top kid in the yeshiva, top kid in his high school, valedictorian, won every award. Like, tremendous, tremendous question. Where do you go to Gush? Where do you go? I think it was Karen Biava, like, back, neck and neck. Where Gush? Comes to Gush. Wow, wow, wow. Guys comes. Wasn't a fresh guy, don't worry. Comes to Gush. Okay. And all of a sudden, he's not showing up. So I peel away a little. And then finally, I said, you know, come clean. Where are you? He's not in base manners at all. This is his watching TV series. This is before internet. So people brought CD-ROMs and they watched, they followed series. I said, well, tell me, it seems pretty bad because she's not around. How many TV shows are you watching? How many series are you following? And I said, maybe six or seven. Maybe I could, you know, discover good new series to watch. I like good series also. He says, Revy, I'm watching 26 TV series. I said, whoa, slow down. 26. I said, whoa. 10, 7, 26. She started crying. I had to hold her in my arms. He said, Rabbi, I have a really, really, really bad life. And he told me about how bad his family life was and his illness and cancer. He just had a really, really sorry life. I just can't take it. I need to just walk away. I need fantasy. I need escape. I need to make believe I'm a spy or a fireman or a police cop. I need just to breathe. I just need that time. I just can't face reality. So every once in a while, you need to walk away. But sin creates a fantasy, creates a fairy dust. I promise you, if all the athletes that we admire or all the celebrities that we gawk at on the internet would walk into Frisch or walk Elon into your kitchen, they'd be ordinary people. They'd look really ordinary, but they're Photoshopped and you see them in context with fans cheering and people applauding and just, they're like you and me. But we're looking for escape. We're looking for fantasy. We're looking to travel beyond because life is boring. And you know what? So much of success in life is being able to embrace the boredom. If you want to be mediocre, change things up. If you want to be massively successful in life, you need 10,000 hours of repetitive strokes again and again, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. If not, if you can't deal with the boredom, if you can't embrace it, you're just going to max out. And you may not realize it because you're all at the top of your class in French, but I promise you, when you get into the big bad world out there, you're nothing. I mean, I'm at that stage right now where guys are coming into Gustav Valedictorian, nothing. You're, you know, like I laugh when principals say, oh, this guy is the brightest guy in one boy in yeshiva this year. He's the brightest guy to ever been in our yeshiva. How are you going to handle him? Like, I'm please don't laugh. Don't laugh. Like, I'm pinching myself. Trust me, we got this. We got this, Rabbi. You're going to handle it. I promise you to go here or zero in 60 seconds. I promise you that. So you're going to max out unless you're able to just repeat your strokes again and again and again and again. We want to look about it in a larger sense. Humanity is still recovering from World War One. World War One was an international lobotomy. It wiped away maps. It wiped away monarchies. It wiped away old values, hierarchies, cultures. And humanity still hasn't rediscovered its identity. You can't live for freedom. Freedom is not the ultimate goal. Freedom is a facilitator. You're free from tyranny. You're free from persecution so that I can fill in the blank. It's not a terminus. It's a catalyst. I want to be free from abuse so that I can buy an iPhone, root for my team. What's the next? What's the purpose? What's the meaning of life? So most of humanity, the last 30, 40 years, has said, you know what? If you don't have to look in the mirror all the day because we're looking at screens and endless entertainment, I'm looking in the mirror, so we just can escape, nonstop escape. Video on demand, 24-hour sports, movies, because I don't have to think about reality. I have to look in the mirror. I'm looking at the screen. So think about some of the times you sin. A lot of it is escapism. And escapism is good in dosages, but if you're constantly running away, it's not going to bode well. Stand up, face your world, face it with all the cracks and crevices, with all the pockmarks and pimples, and just live. Just don't try to run away. When we eat, when we overeat, we're running away. When we indulge, we run away. When we get addicted, we run away. We want some other world. He's running. He's running to another world. Okay, so what happens? So he travels. This is an amazing part of the story. He travels, okay, seven rivers to reach this woman. Okay, halach v'avar la shiva naharos. You see line three of Source Dalet, which is amazing because part of the problem today with the internet is that you don't have seven rivers. When I was your age, I used to take the subway home. I lived in Brooklyn. I used to take the subway home from school. There's a candy store right underneath the subway. And in front of candy stores, like chocolates, licorice, gum, drinks, sodas. Move to the middle of the store, you got your chips, pretzels, your popcorn, your Cracker Jacks, all the non-kosher food we ate because we ate whatever was on the shelves. We had some kosher food. We ate it all. If it was a picture of a pig on the wrapper, we ate it. Oh, kosher. No pictures of pigs. We're fine. We're all cool. Okay. One day I'll tell you what I ate when I was your age. And then you make your way to the middle of the store to the onion rings. Those fungos, onion rings, you know, the nuclear breath. You can't get off your breath like 3 days. Like holding your breath, talking to your not that you have a girlfriend, talking to you, you're gonna hold your breath or something. Now, what's on the other side of the onion rings, back of the store? Magazines. Dirty magazines. And everyone knew that that's the boundary. If you get too close to the onion rings, you're in the back of the store. Now, some kids went to the back of the store. I was like hanging out the onion rings. Some kids. But you know, onion rings, that's the boundary, it's the border. You're sitting in front of a computer, no onion rings. Two clicks away. Two clicks away. It makes it so hard. Normally, when we have to walk past the onion rings, things change. We think about it. What's amazing here is that he keeps running. One of the al-chets we're going to say on Yom Kippur is al-chet shechatanu lefenecha beritzat haraglayim l'raduk. When's the last time you were so intense, so concentrated on sinning that nothing stopped you? You ran, you did, it took you to. Sometimes you just fall into a sin. Like on Shabbos, we fall into a sin. We lose our cool. We're at night, something happens. Like sometimes you just fall into it immediately. But sometimes, like the passion, the hormones, the fire, the desire, the need, the lie, whatever. It's like we just block everything out. We just, this man's blocking everything out. And then what happens is, let me fast forward because I don't want to take too. So he's there and he's aroused and he's engaged and it's about to happen. Line number three, B'shas hergel davar hificha. Now he's with this woman, and I hate to say this because like a little bit uncomfortable, but she lets out some gas. And like the whole fantasy comes crashing down. It's, you know, there are two ways to battle the Yetzirah, two general ways. One is called Godless Adam. Godless Adam means I'm great. I have a mission. I have potential. Hashem expects more of me. Expectations, grandeur, majesty. My Zaidi learned in the famous Musa Yeshiva called Slobodka. And he would always tell me that in Slobodka, there were two words in the Musa Sefer, a very small Musa Sefer, like just one page. What were the two words in the Musa Sefer? In Yiddish, Pasnish. Pasnish, which means it's below you, it's beneath you. You're too great, you have too much potential. Pasnish, Pasnish. But another way, another two-letter word, another two-word phrase is Rima v'toleh. Everything you see will fade to dust, worms and dust. Now, it doesn't mean you should look at your whole world as worms and dust. That's disrespectful to people. That's not true. Every once in a while, you got to remind yourself, all these flashing fairy dust, exciting fantasy, it's all just a transient dream. It's all just a world. That can happen in Olam Haba. You can outlive that world. And somehow, this whole gas-passing situation, like, remind him, this is a normal woman. She has a nose like me, two eyes like me, body like me, small intestines like me. She eats, I eat, I go to the bathroom. She's not that other fantasy that, you know, guys sometimes come over to me and ask me, should they go to secular college? So I stop the conversation. It's a very complex conversation. I say, look, we can talk about it, but one thing I won't allow. I won't allow racist statements. We can have a conversation about it, but no racism. Okay. So what's a racist statement? Here's the racist statement. I want to go to a secular college because there are many reasons to complete that sentence. I want to go to secular college because I need to learn how to interact with Gentiles. Don't be racist. They have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, just like me. I respect everyone I meet in this world. I feel common partnership with everyone. When I'm on a plane, you won't recognize me. I'm hamming it up with the stewardess and talking to the pilot and hanging out with the guy drinking next to it. Like, because we're all humans. We share the same planet. Like, I'm finding the lowest common denominator with everyone around me. I never have to learn how to interact with Gentiles. I don't think there are any, I mean, they're different because I'm chosen, but our DNA is the same. Our thought process is the same. Our experiences are the same. I've got a mission that Hashem expects of me. And I treat every single person I meet in this world. So you want to have a conversation about, let's talk about better education, worse education. Learn. I'm happy to go through the rest with you, but don't go on that. The Gentiles are different aliens. I got to learn how to speak to the aliens. You don't got to learn to speak to the aliens. They're just like you and me. Okay, let's get this finished. So she passes gas, whole fantasy comes crashing down. He freaks out. He says, and I'll just paraphrase for you. He goes to the heavens and the earth and he says, heavens and earth, pray for me. He's trying to deflect. We always deflect. We always find people to blame. We always find reasons we sin. So much of courage is taking blame, feeling hurt, accepting responsibility. Don't be a deflector. Don't be a deflector in life. I told the boys two nights ago, if there's a problem in this world and you're not prepared to solve it, then don't go complaining about it. I have no patience, zero patience for armchair complainers. If there's a problem, solve it. If there isn't a problem, you don't want to solve it, that's fine. Stand down. Quiet. Rabbi Lam, Zechron Levracha, once told me that he was in a meeting about the problems of modern Orthodoxy. And we don't have enough good educators. We don't have enough Rabbi Goldfishers. Not enough Rabbi Garden Schwartzes. Not enough Rabbi Seth. We don't have enough educators and rabbis. And what are we going to do? And it's YU's fault. And it's this high school's fault. And it's this rabbi's fault. And so Rabbi Lam, great mic drop. He said, stop. He said, how many people in this room would be happy if their children became rabbis and teachers? Raise your hand. No one raised the hand. Said, meeting's adjourned. Meeting's up. Oh, so Elsa, don't get into that habit. Not just about education. If there's a problem, it's good. Be the solution. It's carry weight. Find responsibility. Take blame. Real blame. Not just, you know, the quarterback always says, it's my fault. He listens to these post-game interviews. It's my fault, my fault. It's like empty already. Real blame. Real. Stop looking at the heavens. Stop looking. He's praying to the heavens. He's praying to the stars. He prays and stars say, we can't do it for you. He's not just deflecting. He's also like, well, maybe the world doesn't change. Maybe there are heavens because heavens don't change and there are stars and the stars don't change. Maybe I can't change my fate because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people go off the derech. This is how people go off the derech. I'll tell you what happens. You fail and you fail and you fail and you fail. And the guilt builds and builds and builds and builds. And it's really hard to deal with guilt. So they're standing at a crossroads. You can either say, you know what, I'll deal with the guilt and I'll try to reform and I'll try to improve. I'll get back on the wagon. Or you script for yourself a narrative that says, I'm unredeemable. I've already gone too far. I'm out. And it's a cathartic release to think that you're already so far gone that you can't change. And that is simply impossible. The world around you is not static. It's not fixed. You can change the world and you can change yourself. So stop talking about heavens and earth and stars and moons, which are fairly fixed. Even those can change and they will change in the apocalypse of messianic era. But it's not about stars and heavens and mountains and rivers. It's about you, honesty, and courage. If you're looking for the two ingredients for tshuva cake, I baked the guys a cake this morning. I called it tshuva cake. Number one, because it didn't fully bake last night. I put it in again this morning. So it's tshuva cake, a second chance. Second of all, because the middle wasn't fully baked. So I'm reminding them that tshuva, even not fully baked, Hashem still accepts it. So it's tshuva cake. They all gobbled it up. What are two ingredients for tshuva? Honesty, to look at yourself real and true, and the courage to make that change in that order. If you're not honest and existential, you don't cut yourself down to the bone, you need to spend your time doing tshuva for generic chait. You know the generic chait that every single person in this world shares? Donnie, kibbut avayim. We don't do kibbut avayim. See your mom in the background well enough. Lashon hara, Shabbos, Torah. The Satan wants you to think about those things on Yom Kippur, because those are just the generic garden variety chatayim that everyone thinks about. What he's terrified of, Tani, is if you think about you, what makes you flawed? And Benny and Elon, and what? He's terrified that I'm going to cut myself to the bone and see myself as I am and make real change. So he's distracted. He can't distract him with YouTube. I'm not staying home on Yom Kippur to watch YouTube. He knows that. He's not a fool. I know him for many, many years, Satan. I know. We're good friends. We're a good friend. Sometimes he wins, sometimes I win. We're good friends. But he wants to distract me. Oh, yeah, think about Kibbut Avraham. I'll never be good at Kibbut Avraham. I'm always trying. I'll never be great at it. I'm never good at Talmud Torah. I'm always wasting my time. I'm never good at Lashon Hara. Okay, but let's get past that. Let's get to the existential core. I mean, look at myself true and free and see myself in ways that I'm afraid to see myself when I'm avoiding the mirror the rest of the year. And then once I get to that, do I have the courage to say, you know, it's going to be different? And even if I fail, at least I've started. Okay, so that's the tshuva of Rebbe Elazar ben Dardaya. Try to find out why you sin. Try to realize the dangers of unlimited freedom. Try to avoid fantasy. Try to create a world in which you're seven rivers away. Find ways that you'll have to give yourself time to think rather than being just drawn into it without thinking. Try to realize that as exciting as the world is, and don't lose your excitement for this world, please, because you're young and Hashem gave you the spirit of optimism, of confidence, of dreams. The second you start thinking the world is morbid and dark, you'll lose that and you'll lose your star. You'll lose your genius. I want you guys to be stars. I want you to see yourselves as invincible. I want you to see this world as glowing and radiant opportunities. But you always have to check yourself. People say, should I read Maseilas Yesharim? I say Maseilas Yesharim is the second Maaseh Sefer you should read, not the first. Maseilas Yesharim describes the world as dark and goblins and empty and dangerous. That's not the world we live in. World of opportunity, world of potential, world of grandeur, world of majesty. And then you got to remind yourself, by the way, it's all going to fade. By the way, it's just an entry. The real palace. But it's a pretty good entry room. It's a pretty good passageway. And while I'm in the passageway, I'm going to try to improve it. As Rabbi Chassin once told me, it may be a passageway. Some people may ignore the passageway on their way to the palace. But for my sake, Rav Aaron said, I want to renovate the passageway for the benefit of those who will walk after me. What a line. I want to renovate the passageway for those who will walk after me. But it's still a passageway. And then don't deflect to anyone else. You're a big boy now. You're not looking on the outside. You're now an adult. It's not when you're young, you think like life is around you. You're watching life in adults. Part of transitioning into adult is now you're an adult. Now it's your story. Sooner you write that story, sooner you're courageous about that story, higher you fly, further you soar. So start now and have an easy Yom Kippur, meaningful Yom Kippur. Whatever we have, bring. God doesn't expect you to bring any more than you have. We have less this year than we have in other years. Maximum effort. Hashem judges you by effort, not accomplishment. How far we'll go, maybe we're limited. Without minyanim, without the environment, But how far we care, we never limited. That's in your heart and only in your heart. So dig deep, draw the resources from your heart, pull them out, summon them. And if you don't have that much time to daven, you don't have that much kavana, give yourself a break. Forgive yourself. But all Hashem wants is what's in your heart. And you can be on a desert island and you still have that ability to let him into your heart. Okay?
Thank you, Rav Tarrigan. Very excellent.
Wow, it's really loud and fresh. Oh my goodness, I forgot how loud it is and fresh.
Yep.
Thank you, Rav Tarrigan.
Thank you so much.
What was the first Messer Sefer?
What? Yeah, I was going to ask the same question.
Yeah.
It's a sefer called Or HaTzafon, Slabat Gamasar, Godless Adam, man is great. Don't fail yourself, don't fail God. Godless Adam, not shiftless Adam. That's the world we inhabit. If you lived in Me'ah Sha'arim and you didn't have a car, you didn't have a cell phone, then you could live the Me'ah Sha'arim. But if you live in Tinek, or if you live in New Rochelle, if you live, and you can't read the Me'ah Sha'arim, the world is nothing, the world is dark, the world is goblins, it's empty. Okay, now, let me get my cell phone, get into my SUV, go to the Yankee game, have a good dinner, but the world is empty. It's called bifurcation. And bifurcation is the great enemy of religion. To live one life in front of the Sefer and another life when you're not in front of the Sefer, split personality. You want to create integration. You're the same person in the Sefer or you're not in the Sefer. You're always standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes you're learning Torah. Sometimes you're doing Chesed. Sometimes you're working. Sometimes you're playing. Sometimes you're sleeping. It's all the same. It's all the same feel. So that's why the Me'ah Sha'arim today doesn't, nothing against the Sefer, he wrote in Italy in the 1720s. A little bit has changed, not much.
You know, Rav Tarrigan, Godless Adam means something very different in English.
Some other time, Benny. Some Kipper, Benny. You have to ask Tshuva for that. Right? Careful. Okay. Sivach Sima Tov, everyone. Sivach Sima Tov.
All of our tefillos. Rav Tarrigan, what was the name of the other sefer?
Or HaTzafon.
Or HaTzafon, okay. And also, I saw that your son got married a few weeks ago. Mazel Tov.
Thank you. He's living in the Yerucham Yeshiva, south of Rishava.
Nice.
Yes, Ben. All right. Have a good davening. Daven for me, and I'll daven for you. Mirtashem.
Thank you so much.
Deal?
Sounds good.